Oh boy, I had to go and jinx it. All right, so it looks like we are in business again. Let's check a couple of things just to make sure. The last one was totally me not paying attention to the battery life of my computer, and then it restarted. So everything looks to be in order. Welcome, nerds. Thank you for joining for another Friday night stream. So we're going to start this one fresh again. I'm not going to try and stitch these guys together in post because we were only just a couple minutes into it before it pooped out. So all of that being said, we have news to talk about. Thank you for joining me right here on Generally Nerdy. Also, thank you for those of you who are joining me in post, as there are quite a few of those. Much appreciated. We are going to just jump right into the news. So I am going to... first hour approximately is going to be news. And for those of you who are here on stream, we will be then playing some games. And if you want to watch in post, Generally Nerdy on YouTube is the place to go see the entirety of the broadcast in VOD format. Or we have... the Facebook gaming page, Generally Nerdy Gaming, is where you can just watch the game. Or where is everything post? YouTube, Facebook, or the audio on Nerdy Legion. Also, the audio goes up onto the Generally Nerdy audio feed. So all of the different places. And all of that being said, oh, come on, work. Yay, it works. Let's get into the news. Oh, I just read this one, but you guys don't know that because, yeah, it is what it is. Anyway, Constantine, HBO Max series reveals plot details. So J.J. Abrams' HBO Max series is looking to cast, and according to a logline that has been released, the new Constantine series is as described. Quote, the series blends urban action, body horror, and the supernatural on the streets of modern-day London. It allows a young man whose entire world is upended when a chance encounter with a young girl pulls him into the dark and treacherous world of the occult. So body horror is interesting. I don't know that any of the current comic books are dealing with anything even close to that, so that'll be interesting. In addition to the plot description, a casting call has gone out for two characters of Cambodian heritage, which could be for the character from the comics, Astrologue, who Constantine couldn't save and went to hell. The casting call offers that the character is female, 10 years old, of Cambodian heritage, and is the emotional heart of our story, quote unquote. Excuse me. Now, the second character is a male, 60 plus years old, of Cambodian heritage, and is described as Akara's stoic grandfather. It says stoical, but I don't think stoical is actually a word. And that, though he doesn't look it, he is at times stunningly strong despite his age, unquote. And then the rest of the article just talks about some conjecture that could happen in Abrams' Constantine series. So, I got a little bit of headway there. Next up, checking things, make sure everything's still healthy and good. We are rocking and rolling. I'm going to do a thing real quick. I apologize, but it must go down. There we go. Is it? Stoical is a legit word? It just sounds wrong. All right. Our next... piece. Wonder Twins casting. We have KJ Apa and Isabel May have been cast as the two leads. KJ Apa, known for the Riverdale series on CW, will play Zahn, who has the ability to turn into the shape of water. Isabel May, known for 1883, also Run, Hide, Fight, will be playing his twin sister Jaina, who can turn into the form of any animal. I could see them being twins. That makes sense. The movie is in development for HBO Max streaming from the co-writer of Black Adam and Rampage, both starring Dwayne Johnson. Adam Oh, man. Stikel. Keel. I don't know. Tykeel. Stikel. There we go, I guess. Who also penned the script is directing, making his directorial debut. So if Rampage is anything to go on, but Black Adam looks to be shaping up pretty decently, so there's at least a little bit of hope coming down that pike. Anyway, a leaked casting call also revealed the villains of the film will apparently be Pils and Vinka. We talked about this in the regular show. So, and then it goes on to explain who the Wonder Twins are. Eternal star Barry Cogan arrested for public intoxication. That's funny. Not exactly something we're going to go into, but still funny. Aquaman star Amber Heard initiated and triggered Depp fights. Ugh, that's the whole court case that we touched on when it first started a little while ago, and just, I don't know, a little too hot button to really. I mean, if I really wanted to get all the viewers and the listeners and followers, I guess I would dive into more stuff like that. But that doesn't have to do with the art. It has to do with their personal lives, and I don't care about their personal lives. Batman Michael Keaton's suit revealed for the flat. Ooh, hey. Comparison pictures is a great thing for the stream. Oh, and I should have. I didn't do that. I didn't have time. I was making dinner tonight. All right, so 89 bat suit. Yep, just like I remember. Oh, what the heck? Oh, because we got to go into the Twitter links. Twitter link one is just Bruce Wayne. Okay, looks great. Twitter link two. Oh, here we go. There are four pictures on this guy. New Michael Keaton Batman body double with J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon. Interesting. Huh. On the body double, it fits really loose. That's almost silly looking. Like, it's like saggy at the midsection. The chest and the logo look okay. The chest looks a little too plastic. The bat symbol on the center of the chest, that looks pretty good. The cape is sitting on it kind of weird too. I don't know, that seems like a strange redesign. So that's a better picture more head on. Still looks like it's not fitting him correctly. Like the legs, at the top of the legs, it's even a little saggy. So that compared to, let's, so this is obviously, the original is obviously like molded plastic, or rubberized plastic, I guess. The original OG 89 bat symbol has extra bumps on the bat tail because it's more like the anatomical look of an actual bat, whereas it looks like they're more using the Batman Forever. Or, I'm sorry, why can't I think of the name of the second movie? The second Batman movie. Batman, the Michael Keaton. Returns, good lord, thank you. It looks like they're going with more of a Batman Returns logo and not the 89 Batman logo. So that's different. But then, yeah, this looks like plastic, not the rubberized plastic that makes up the abs and chest piece for Michael Keaton's original. I like the cowl a lot better than the original. The original one always looks really awkward and uncomfortable and actually too big for Keaton's head. This one looks like it's formed a little bit better around at least the body double's head. The way the cape, though, sits across his shoulders seems, I don't know, like, I don't like the way it goes across his chest, but there's the shoulder things look interesting, so there's that. Then we have him and Commissioner Gordon obviously wearing a hairpiece, but that doesn't look half bad. J.K. Simmons will be a great Commissioner Gordon, I think. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, comparing the midsection on the 89 suit, it definitely feels more... I don't know, it feels more... This just looks like it fits better in that area. I think the only place that the new suit works better is in the head, in the cowl, but that's just me. So yeah, there we go, moving right along. Nimona... coming to Netflix, starring Chloe Grace Moretz, Riz Ahmed, Eugene Lee Yang. Sure. Stranger Things, The Experience is coming to New York City this spring. Weird. Robbie Amell cast in season 3, Witcher. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Robbie Amell, known for The Flash, Amazon's Upload, sci-fi film Code 8, which also stars his cousin Steven. Cousin? They're cousins? I thought they were brothers. That's crazy. And the recent Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City movie, which I still haven't watched for some reason. It's playing Gallatin. Described as a born fighter, Gallatin leads an army of guerrilla societel fighting on behalf of Nilfgaard. And afraid to speak his truth, Gallatin's loyalty to his people ultimately leads him on a collision course with Francesca over power. Cool. And then it's just more that we already know about The Witcher. Still, interesting to see one of the ML boys on there. Oh, Cronenberg. Cronenberg has a new movie. David Cronenberg, Crimes of the Future trailer is here, starring Viggo Mortensen. This trailer is worth a watch. We're not going to do it here on stream because, again, I don't want to get the stream shut down even just for a couple minutes while we watch it. But what does Cronenberg have to say about this? This is Cronenberg's first movie after 8 years. Crimes of the Future is 20 years in the making, and worth a mention is that it is not... the same movie or a remake of the Cronenberg film of the same name from 1970. David Cronenberg is also known for such films as The Fly, Videodrome, Dead Zone, History of Violence, and more. Quote, Crimes of the Future is a meditation on human evolution, said the director in an official statement. Specifically, the ways in which we have had to take control of the process because we have created such powerful environments that did not exist previously. The movie is an evolution of things I have done before. Fans will see key references to other scenes and moments from my other films. As a continuity of my understanding of technology as connected to the human body. That's interesting. Always an extension of the human body, even when it seems to be very mechanical and non-human. Really interesting. Viggo Mortensen, Lea Seydoux, and Kristen Stewart. Maybe not so much that last one, but still, Cronenberg. Gonna be worth a watch because Cronenberg is crazy. Jurassic World, Dead Boy Detectives, coming to HBO Max, Justice League Snyder Cut. Whoa, what? Worse than thought? New details follow the big DC. What? It's learned that the Justice League Snyder Cut on HBO Max performed worse than thought as new details are revealed, which follow the big news that Discovery wants to overhaul DC and revitalize Superman. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. This is rumor territory because it comes from Grace Randolph. It follows her earlier report on how the Snyder Cut failed to perform and bring in subscriptions for the HBO Max streaming service. Duh, because everybody who wanted it already had HBO Max when it launched because they're all a bunch of fanboys because the Snyder universe for DC characters is garbage, is hot, stinky garbage. So since the Snyder Cut stuff failed to boost HBO Max subscriptions... it's now reported that the Snyderverse is done for as Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav takes DC in a new direction. To be fair, though, it wasn't just the Snyder Cut that failed to bring HBO Max subscriptions. It was all the movies that WB day and date released. Hence why WB did a 180, and now all their movies are getting released first in theaters. Yeah, because that's how they're going to make the monies. So, yeah, a little bit of speculation, but sounds pretty spot on, not going to lie, because they're not good movies. His version of the Justice League was better than the other version we got, but that's not to say, I mean, you can only polish turd so far. It still smells like shit. DC overhaul. Here we go. This is the overhaul. This is very likely. Oh, this comes from Variety, though, so maybe there's a little bit more to it. We have, just as many have been hoping for and speculated, it's said Warner Brothers Discovery is exploring the overhaul of the DC Entertainment brand, which includes a revitalized Superman. Variety offers insiders have filled them in. Oh, so this is still rumor, though, so take this with a grain of salt, just like everything else. But David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, wants to create something similar to what Kevin Feige has done at Marvel. They keep saying this, and that was the whole thing with Snyder, was the Snyderverse is going to be the new MCU, well, it's going to be DC properties, and it didn't work because Snyder makes mediocre movies and makes really bad DC movies. I don't know that anyone's ever going to be able to argue anything convincingly to me that will make Henry Cavill's Superman a good movie. Cavill was okay in it, but the writing was garbage, and he was only okay anyway. Similar to what Feige does Marvel, with what sounds like a DC Studios, where all of DC would fall under the leadership of one executive, which would include the movies and TV, and assuming gaming and comics. Yes, that is not assuming. That was in the official press release. Gaming and comics are to be included. I guess that's just with the transition, though. But either way, it said Zaslav has already interviewed candidates for the job, including 20th Century Studios and Paramount executive Emma Watts, but it doesn't appear that Watts will take the job. Interesting. It's also said that Zaslav is not looking for a creative like Kevin Feige to take over, but someone more businesslike to lead, yet still leave the creative direction open. That could be really interesting, because that's one of the big issues with the MCU, is that Feige is too much of an iron fist. He leads and he controls all of the creative as well. So all of the potential that is the movies, you could make a fantastic movie that is a superhero movie. It's more the other way around. You're making a superhero movie that potentially could be a fantastic movie. And really not a whole lot of them get a lot of that little tail bit of being a fantastic movie on top of just being a solid comic book movie. So that's why a lot of movie snobs aren't big fans of the MCU, is because it's formulaic filmmaking that serves the purpose of being fan fodder but doesn't really advance the language of cinema. So I'm pushing buttons, I apologize. All right, Warner Bros. Discovery is said to feel that maximizing the potential of its DC brand is important to the overall success of the new merger, and that includes Superman. Thank God. It said that, quote, Discovery believes that several top-shelf characters such as Superman have been left to languish and need to be revitalized, and that they also want to expand the DC concept, similar to the Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, and exploit second-build characters, with Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn given as another example. I could deal without Robbie in the Quinn. I really feel like if you're going to go with Harley Quinn some more, maybe make her a better character. I don't know, that's just me. Not a big Harley Quinn fan, not gonna lie. It's further said, and anyone who watches the show regularly knows this, further said that Zaslav believes the company must, quote, do more to grow its approach to comic book fare, including bolstering gaming. Oh, maybe, I really hope, and I still haven't been able to find the details on this, but I really hope that with all of this gaming talk that NetherRealm was part of the transition to Discovery, or Warner Brothers Discovery, because it sounds like they have that in mind. So if you're keeping gaming in the forefront, then a fantastic studio like NetherRealm should reap all of these benefits and not just have to make Mortal Kombat. I love Mortal Kombat. Do not get me wrong. Obviously, every frame that I produce onto YouTube has a Mortal Kombat Dragon logo in it somewhere. So I don't want them to stop making Mortal Kombat, but I do appreciate when an artist can do more than one thing. And man, NetherRealm is art, at least to me. A name thrown out there in the article was Walter Hamada, who took over DC Films in 2018, has said Hamada has, quote, achieved more consistency in terms of both the critical and commercial reception, unquote, with the company's movies, that Hamada is still under contract until the end of 23, and that Hamada, quote, could play an important role in whatever Zaslav has planned, unquote. Interesting, yes. And then it goes on with all of the regular Gamergate type people. DC is a big mess. This is not news. Needs to be revitalized. Yes, it does. Continuing on, though, that's all we're going to get out of that article. CW passes on bringing back Jesse L. Martin for The Flash Season 9. I am really far behind on my Flash. I didn't even realize he was gone. But, yeah, okay. Wasn't even approached. Oof, they apparently snubbed him. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness spot unleashes a reckoning. It's more trailer stuff. We can't do trailers in stream because it shuts us down. Moon Knight Episode 3 review. Awesome. Still a great series. I stand by the fact that we have recommended this twice now, but yeah. Snyder Cut fans need to tone it down. Didn't do anything for HBO Max. Yes, already. Reacher and Mayor of Kingstown recommended. Ezra movie prequel not canceled. Interesting. All right, let's check this out. There's a prequel. Oh, it's a comic book. It's a prequel to the movie, but it is a comic book. Has not been canceled, according to the artist. Where is the artist? DC comic artist Juan. I am going to not say this right. Ferreira. Who worked on the series took Twitter to clear the air. Nope. Nope. It will be printed later this year, so there won't be such a gap between the comic and the movie. That's cool. So since the release date for The Flash was pushed back to November, or from November of 22 to June of 23, the prequel comic book will be released closer to the movie. So it's just been bumped, which, just like the movie. Fair enough. Couple drops, restraining order, and now we are into stuff that we covered on the last regular episode. So we are changing sources. Let's head on over to let's do We Got This Covered, because that'll be fun to mock. Hello, viewer. Sorry. Oh, no. Oh, that's sad. Liz Sheridan, actress who played Jerry's mom on Seinfeld, has passed at the age of 93. So we will get there. I'm going to jump into movies first. These guys always have so much dang fluff. How did Gandalf kill the Balrog? I don't know. Go read the book. Frodo's Journey, Fantastic Beasts, how it sets up for... Why? All cast members and characters... Oh, all right, so let's get into this, just because we keep touching on it. So let's get a definitive out there. This is who has officially been cast in the Blue Beetle films. I'm super excited for the Blue Beetle film. I really like the modern Blue Beetle stuff. Jaime Reyes is the dude. All right, I don't know how to say this dude's name, and I do apologize, but I'm just going to assume Solo Maridueña Cast as Jaime Reyes. Yes, we already know this. We are going to know most of these, I believe. Harvey Guillen as TBC. I'm to be concluded. Doesn't say. Now, following has likewise joined the cast of Blue Beetle. Intriguingly, Warner Bros. Keeping a tight lid on who he's going to be playing. So he might be the OG Blue Beetle, because that's a rumor kicking around that that OG Blue Beetle is going to be in it. Susan Sarandon has been cast as Victoria Court. Not Susan Sarandon. Sharon Stone. What? Whoa. When did this change? This has changed within the last week. You heard it here first, nerds. Although Sharon Stone was initially in talks for the role, another Hollywood legend ultimately ended up nabbing the part. Thelma & Louise icon Susan Sarandon has been added to the cast as the villain of the film. This is her first time in the superhero movie sphere, although the Oscar-winning actress is no stranger to playing antagonists. Yeah. Interesting. So... he, what was this actor's name? I apologize. Harvey Guillen, very well could be playing her husband, who was the original Blue Beetle, even though she's made up for this movie. Ted Kord. Next is Elpidia Carrillo as Rocío Reyes, best known for her role as Anna Gonsalves in both 87's Predator opposite Mr. Freeze himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and its 1990 sequel, Predator 2. Relative of Jaime's. Okay. Raul Max Trujillo as Carpax, the indestructible man. Mayans MC actor Raul Max Trujillo. That one was news to me. I didn't see that announcement. That's cool. In the comics, Conrad Carpax has ties to both Ted Kord and the first Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett. So OG Blue Beetle. That's the Golden Age Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett. He started out as a crooked archaeologist before he died, attempting to steal a powerful robot, only to have his mind transferred into said robot. Interesting. Became a supervillain. George Lopez as Uncle Rudy Reyes. Bruna Marquezine. Oh, Lord. These names, I'm sorry. Bruna Marquezine as Penny. Adriana Barraza as Nana. Damian Alcazar. Alberto Reyes. Melissa Escobedo. That's a fun last name. As another Reyes, Milagro Reyes. Cool. Well, we learned at least one new person that's been cast in this. That's really awesome. I dig it. Moving right along. Batgirl's Leslie Grace reveals which DC superhero she wants to meet. Ugh. Why is this on? This is supposed to be a news site. James Bond fans celebrate. Blah 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 blah. I'm so over you right now. Okay, moving right along. Next, going over to gaming. Master Chief makes an important discovery in Halo Episode 5 teaser. Oof, I'm still a little bit on the fence for the Halo series. Like, I'm watching, but trepidatiously. I don't know, it just doesn't feel like Master Chief. There's so much there that... doesn't work, I guess. Nothing here. Club Penguin. Nope. Pedro Pascal compares The Last of Us to The Mandalorian. Why would he do such a thing? That's silly. Wordle. Nothing. All right. Nothing in gaming. Cool. Going to TV. Power Rangers, Star Trek. Blah. So much filler, these guys. Like, more than usual, even. Gotham Knights set photo. Let's check this out. CW's latest addition to its ever-growing slate of DC programming is now filming its pilot. Where's the picture? Let's go to... We have another Twitter link. Twitter link. Open... Bruce Wayne. This is the headstone for Bruce Wayne. It says, he lived in the shadows. Now he lives in our hearts. Huh. This seems weird. What's more, user It's Nate Sheriff also shared a video from the same location. Huh. Oh, they actually film the funeral for Bruce. That's interesting. Bruce might not be appearing in the series, but his presence will be keenly felt. They still very probably are going to be doing flashbacks, so they'll probably still have to cast a Bruce Wayne Batman. So there's always that. Blah, 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 blah. I hate this. Mysteriously tweets for the first time in 6 months. Part 2 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stone Ocean, coming to Netflix. Spoiler alert for Part 1, but whatever. Perilous Plight of Jolene Cujo, set to continue when episodes 13 through 22 of Stone Ocean, the sixth story arc of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime series, releases on Netflix later this year. It doesn't say when later this year. Yeah, no, there's no release date for it yet, but it is going to be this year, apparently, according to one of Netflix's Twitter accounts. And there's a trailer attached to it, too. Cool. So, yeah, Netflix Geeked is that's the account where they talk about all of the nerdy stuff. Season 2 of Star Wars Vision is on the way, a rumor says. Interesting. I don't really care to dive too much deeper into it aside from acknowledging that the rumor exists. I got a little friend at my feet. Whoa, that's funny. Moon Knight issues. All right, let's get into this. Open link. So let's see the picture, shall we? So did anybody catch this from Heavy Spoilers? Camera guy. Where is it? Absolute. That doesn't look like camera, though, is it? That looks like follow spot, maybe, because he's got a screen. Yeah, no, that's not camera, because obviously we're seeing it through the camera. That's somebody on the camera crew, but that is not a camera guy, necessarily, just to be totally... nerdy nitpicky, but that is the guy who's working the follow spot, or the follow focus, rather. That's hilarious. He should see himself. He's looking at the frame. Like, Mephisto confirmed, one of the comments says. That's hilarious. All right. Yeah, that's great. Whoopsie. Mandalorian, jeans guy. Everybody remembers that. That was pretty funny as well. That's cool. Kaylee Cuoco something, 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 even though they have a picture of one of the Olsen twins there. That's pretty funny. Bryce Dallas Howard says the Clone Wars fans will be greatly rewarded by Ahsoka. Did she watch Clone Wars? Does she understand the... I don't know if that's an accurate statement to be made by somebody like that. Billie Eilish is going to be on The Simpsons. Whoop-dee-doo. New Moon Knight images showcase Mark Spector in action. She-Hulk has plenty of comedy and improv. That's cool. They're gonna go a little off script, huh? Alright, I'm over this now. Moving along, comic books. No, nothing. Flash prequel comic again. Morbius and Blade enemies. Yeah, no, garbage. Nothing. Alright. Let's check. Let's go to Bounding. See what they've got, if anything. Dragon Ball. So they're talking about the delay on the Flash comic book, which makes sense. I don't understand like why this is such a big deal. The movie got bumped. The comic should get bumped. It only makes sense. Square Enix president Yosuke Matsuda believes that if Japanese developers imitate Western games, they will not be able to produce good ones. Yeah. Champez says he's thinking about taking up arms against Russia. Go for it, dude. That's exactly what we need, is some idiot from Hollywood going over there with a couple of guns to take out Russia. Yeah, okay. Shonen Jump leak reveals release date for new Haikyuu one-shot. Check that out, I suppose. Where is it? Last year's Jump Festa 2022. Remix edition on March 11th. That's been and gone. No details provided when one shot will be published, nor, however, silence has been broken. April 25th, apparently, for issue 2122. Huh. Further, the account noted that the one-shot would be around 19 pages long. Additional leaks obtained from unofficial Shonen Jump news account claim that the chapter will be about Nikoma, Captain Tetsuro Koru. I am really not saying these names correctly, and I apologize. Taking action to assemble the whole monster generation, including such players as Shoya Hinata, Tobio, oh man, Kageyama, the Atsumu twins, Kotaro Bokuto, Wakatoshi Ushijima, and Kurai Hoshiumi. Interesting. Okay. Amy Schumer says Secret Service got involved after receiving death threats for Oscar joke involving Kirsten Dunst. I don't believe you. And then we're into things we've already talked about. So not a whole lot on Bounding. Let's go. How much time do we have left? Not much. So let's just hit up the music, man.
His back's all curled underneath him. Oh, no better, buddy.
Loudwire, let's do this. Alright. Sorry. Distracted by the dogs. He's so cute though. Do we have Bam Settles Jackass Forever lawsuit? Interesting. Let's get into that. Suggesting a settlement. Bam Margera has reportedly asked to dismiss his lawsuit against the makers of Jackass Forever, including Jackass figurehead Johnny Knoxville, the star and co-creator of the reality comedy TV series on which the movie, the fourth in the Jackass film series, is based. Yeah, okay, I'll allow it. That, according to TMZ, on Thursday, April 14th, the celebrity tabloid indicated that Margera, who reportedly was fired from the movie for failing to abide by a contract forbidding drug use, had reached a settlement with the filmmakers. Knoxville director Jeffrey Tremaine, producer Spike Jonze, and production companies Dig House Entertainment, Guerrilla Flicks, MTV, and distributor Paramount Pictures. In the suit, Margera suggests the agreement amounted to psychological torture with too many conditions to follow. Yeah, don't do drugs. There's too many conditions to follow. Whatever. His reputation in the film was contingent on his continued sobriety and mental health. Subsequent settlement has not been confirmed by any party, nor its terms disclosed. So, rumor. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I want to get one of those top 10 whatever-whatevers on... We can go to... Let's do that. Let's hit up the... Go to the Googles. Amazon warehouse employees banned for blasting System of a Down. That's hilarious. Why? Amazon warehouse played System of a Down not even for a minute before they changed it because it was inappropriate. That's funny. Okay. Going back. We'll keep this one here. Let's go here. Da-dun-da-dun. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. That's not how you spell it. Sirius. Liquid metal. Liquid metal. Devil's Dozen. I want to... Is there a page for the Devil's Dozen? No. What if we search Liquid Metal Instagram? Quarter of covers. Here we go. All right. Quarter of covers. Quarter of covers. Yo. No, they don't have it listed here either. What a chip, man. Devil's Dozen. Oh, that's what Jose looks like, huh? Oh, all right. I want the dang list. What if we look for their... No. No! Let's Google it. SiriusXM Liquid Metal Twitter account. Just give me the current... No, they don't have anything current. That is really no bueno. How not exciting. I apologize for wasting your time. All right. MGK, nobody cares. Throwing a rock / metal themed wedding. Not news. Deftones debut two new musicians in live lineup. Interesting. Last month, longtime Deftones bassist Sergio Vega, also of the post-hardcore outfit Quicksand, shocked fans when he revealed he had parted ways with Chino and the band. He suggested he was never made an official member of Deftones contractually, despite his extended tenure following founding bassist Chi Chang's career-ending car crash in 2008 and then subsequent passing in 2013. Interesting. So, taking Vega's place is Fred Sablon, musician who performed with Marilyn Manson for several years in the early 10s. Rumors emerged earlier this week that Sablon was on board. Interesting. Who's the other person that joined then? It doesn't say who the second actual... What? What? Nothing. It says there's supposed to be two, but only one of them is talked about. Come on, Loudwire. Get your shit together. Chester Bennington's daughters appear on new Gray Days album. Here are the new... All right, let's talk about new music. Let's just jump into that. Taylor Hawkins posthumously sings on cover song by Edgar Winter. We'll probably get into that for a moment as well. But let's get into the new music for this week. Ugh, it's not going to be pretty, it looks like. Aluna, don't know who that is. Armored Saint apparently has three... Oh, because they're all re-releases. Armored Saint is re-releasing Delirious, March of the Saint, and Raising Fear. Axel Rudy Pell, don't know. Dark Her, Divicious, JBO. Nazareth, Surviving the Law. Poison Rose, Ronnie Romero. Semblant, Soulbound, Stone Broken. These Arms Are Snakes, I know them. Not the greatest band, but they're putting out a new record. Duct Tape and Shivering Crows. Caliban, ooh. Dystopia, new record from Caliban. Those guys are great. Go check that one out. Huntsman is all right. The Dying Pines. Kirk Hammett's solo record. That's right. That comes out next week. I just totally lost my place. Portals. There we go. Primus. Oh, I don't know about that one. Conspiranoid EP. Oof. Tread cautiously. That's all I'm going to say. It is Primus, so it definitely has potential to be amazing, but they haven't really done amazing since Green Naugahyde, I would argue. Ruby the Hatchet, Shinedown, blech. Solitary, Somali Yacht Club. I've heard that name a bunch of times, but I don't think I've ever listened to their music. Undeath, some new death metal. Those guys are not bad. It's Time to Rise from the Grave. Ann Wilson, really? Double Master, blah, 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 blah. Rammstein, Zeit, yeah. Always a good one. The Nuge, Detroit Muscle. Again, tread cautiously because I don't think he's done anything good since the 90s. Watain, Agony and Ecstasy of Watain. That sounds like it's probably a best of record, which is a weird thing for a black metal band, but okay. AWOL Nation. Why is this listed on Loudwire? My Echo, My Shadow, My Covers. Okay. Christian Death. Evil Becomes Rule. Hailstorm. Meh. Ibaraki. Rashomon. Yeah. Ba-dum-ba-dum. Silverstein. Nope. Don't care. 3 Days Grace. Nope. Wofat. What a name. Black Keys. Again, very strange that this is on Loudwire, but okay. Black Keys, Dropout Boogie. Always great. The Black Keys are fantastic players. Dishwalla is apparently still a band. They're putting out a live record. Jungle Rot. Those guys are not terrible, but they're also not very good. Moontooth. This is an interesting band. Definitely check that out. It is unique in the world of metal, but yeah, not, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I have to listen to a little bit more. Opeth, the extended edition of In Cauda Venenum. May 13th. That's right. Anvil is putting out another record. Not a huge Anvil fan, but there are a fair amount of them. Cave In, Heavy Pendulum. Those guys are not bad as well. There's a lot of music coming out, man. Coheed's next record that we've been keeping tabs on, kind of. Vaxis 2, Window of the Waking Mind. Coming out May 27th. Not a big Coheed fan, but I do appreciate the epic storytelling involved behind their songwriting. Tremonti's new solo record. Taking Back Sunday's putting out a best of. Or no, it's an anniversary edition of Tell All Your Friends. Oh, Bleed From Within. I heard those guys the other day on Liquid Metal. They're not terrible. Shrine is the name of the new record. Gwar is putting out a new record. The New Dark Ages. And then this is the same day as that Killswitch live album that we were talking about in the last episode, Live at the Palladium. That's going to be awesome. Memphis Mayfire, remade in Misery, also probably going to be pretty good. Kisk, Void, like the Plague creator, hate Uber Alice. I'm kind of getting okay with creator. Like, I was not much for them, but after hearing that Hate Uber Alice song a million times, it's not terrible. It's not bad at all. Motionless in White, still riding the fence on whether or not I care about those guys. They do okay sometimes. Scoring the End of the World is the next record, June 10th. Soulfly, that's right. Soul Remains Insane, the studio albums, 98 to 2004. It's a box set, I believe. Alexis on Fire, bleh. Porcupine Tree, I didn't realize those guys are still making music. Raptors, I think I heard them the other day on Liquid Metal as well. Living Without Death's Permission. I obviously don't remember if I liked it or not, so that should say something. Municipal Waste, awesome. Electrified Brain. Bullet for My Valentine, deluxe edition of Dangerous. Yeah. Jack White's new record, Entering Heaven Alive, July 22nd. Sweet. The live ZZ Top album, also the same day. Arch Enemy, meh. Deceivers, the 29th. Yeah, okay. So, there's a whole bunch, man. We're not going to go through this whole list. Heck no, man. Oh, all right. So we're almost to the end of this. Never mind. I take it back. Sorry, I can read. And then Skid Row, the new Skid Row, The Gang's All Here, October 14th. Well, that's a bit of a misnomer because Sebastian Bach's not here. Anyway, so I think that is where, we'll see if there's anything else of note. That we were going to talk about this Taylor Hawkins thing, right? All right, so we'll do the Taylor Hawkins thing and then we'll probably call this the news. So, late Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins has been posthumously featured on Guess I'll Go Away, a Johnny Winter cover song by his brother Edgar Winter. The song appears on Edgar's new album, Brother Johnny, which features an array of guests including Ringo Starr, Michael McDonald, Joe Walsh, Steve Lukather, Warren Haynes, Derek Trucks. Wow, this is quite the lineup. Joe Bonamassa and Greg Bissonette, as well as the aforementioned Hawkins. The record serves as a tribute to Johnny Winter, Edgar's older brother, who died in 2014, and sadly, Hawkins unexpectedly died hours before a Foo Fighters concert in Columbia on March 25th, which makes his appearance on Guess I'll Go Away rather poignant. Quote, he said, I just want to get out there and rock he did. Listened to it last night and couldn't help but cry, Winter told Rolling Stone. It's a song about the lure of sex, the danger of drugs, and the love of rock and roll, he continued. And further explained, Johnny wrote it around the time of his first rehab and expresses feelings almost everyone I know has been through in one way or another. I could guess, like most of all musicians, Taylor couldn't help but identify with it. All I know is he put his whole heart and soul into it, and I'm so sad that I never found a way to thank him properly as he so deeply and profoundly deserved. The name of the song is Guess I'll Go Away. Now both Johnny and Taylor have gone away. No one can know. But which we all one day must travel. Gone away. No one. Okay, I see where I put the emphasis. Although I know Johnny has departed this world, I still think of and speak to him every day, and I will now see Taylor's face alongside his, Winter concluded. Song first appeared on the 1970 album Johnny Winter and the fourth studio album by Johnny Winter, and although Hawkins and Edgar never met in person, the cover version has such palpable energy that it feels as if the two cut it live in the studio. Hawkins even refused to accept any financial compensation for guesting on the track. That's cool. And then it has the lyrics listed. And, oh, we might have to do that at some point. All right, that's pretty awesome. I think that's a fun one to go, it's a good one anyway to go out on. So, thank you very much, nerds, for joining. We will be taking a little bit of a break. I got to get food in the dog's bowl and some other things. I need to make sure that the connection between the Xbox and the computer is functioning properly. And yeah, that is how that's going to go. And we'll see you nerds in a minute. For those of you in listening to this in post, or, you know, just going to peace out after we head to the gaming portion, thank you very much for joining. Live every Friday night is when you can join and contribute to the conversation. If there is news that you feel like must be talked about, then let's talk about it, man, because I am here to have that conversation. So, all of that being said, I appreciate your nerdy faces, and we will see you in the next one. Regularly scheduled episode on Wednesday, and then I think we still have, I don't think that anything's really getting in the way of next Friday at this point, but something in the back of my head says there might be. Anyway, thank you very much, nerds. We will see you in the next one. And again, for those of you sticking around, it will be a few minutes, and we'll be back to play some games. Remember, I just screwed up the tagline. If it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.